You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
FM. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
With your hosts, Dawn Price, Mark Miller, and Scott Hayes. The Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land by Bruce Springsteen live. This is the Friendship Show on KX93.5. I'm Dawn Price here with Mark Miller and Scott Hayes on Saturday
morning.
We're back.
I've never heard that before. That was a great choice.
Wow. Isn't that, I like that version. Yeah. And some of the history he gives at the beginning, I had no idea that that song was written.
And did we say it to Woody Guthrie's song?
It's a Woody Guthrie song written by Woody Guthrie right after Irving Berlin wrote God Bless America, kind of as a response to that song. Interesting. Well, we're talking about the environment in the second half of our hour. Many people have New Year's resolutions to be more environmentally conscious, and we have a lady here to help you do that. Grace Adams is the executive director of the Bolsa Chica Conservancy. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
We're glad to have you here. Tell us about the Bolsa Chica Conservancy. The area has a couple of conservation organizations, so...
That's right. Walk
us through that.
Well, we're a very tiny nonprofit organization that's based in Huntington Beach. We run an interpretive center right just north up here on the corner of Pacific Coast Highway and Warner Avenue. And our main mission is really to inspire and connect all generations through community involvement, leadership, and science-based education in coastal ecology, wetlands, and conservation. So we have many programs that's available for all ages.
So if someone were to come and visit your interpretive center, what would they experience there?
Well, we have a very tiny, it's a tiny interpretive center. It's a 1,400 square foot facility with information about anything Bolsa Chica. And we have live animals. We have touch tanks and reptiles and many interpretive panels that talk about the flora and fauna of the area.
Define Bolsa Chica for me. What is the geography of the wetlands there?
Bolsa Chica is the largest saltwater marsh in Southern California. It's about 1,400 acres.
Wow.
And some say it's actually the largest saltwater marsh between the Tijuana River estuary and Monterey Bay. So it's in North Huntington Beach. And it used to be thousands of acres of wetland habitat that over time had been changed with a variety of different land uses, from Native American Indians to the Spanish rancheros. But now we're thrilled that we've been able to save, many organizations have been able to save a good portion of the wetlands, and it's a thriving ecosystem right smack in the middle of an urban area.
I have to tell you, I've never heard this term, saltwater marsh. That's absolutely new to me and fascinating. What lives in a saltwater marsh?
Many, many things. And in fact, that is one of the biggest things about marshes. Marsh really is a wetland, land that is wet. But the distinction for Bolsa Chica is that it gets infusion of water from the ocean. So it's tidal. It has tidal influence. And with water comes life. And so there are thousands of animals that live there. Many think about wetlands as home for the birds, but it's not just for birds. If you look at just a little section of mud from the wetlands, that would, looking under a microscope, you would find billions of bacteria, 500 million diatoms, worms, crustaceans, clams, many, many things. At Bolsa Chica alone, there's more than 50 species of marine fish that swim in and around there, including sharks, rays, lobsters. So many, many things.
You know, I have a friend. He's a former president of Orange Coast College, Bob Dees, and he's an avid birder. I think that's what they call themselves, birder. And he took us out there to bird watch, which I had never done before. And I don't know, you know, my initial reaction to go bird watching was no thank you. But he was so, you know, passionate and enthusiastic about it. And I'm telling you, it was an amazing experience just taking binoculars and looking at all the variety of birds that I couldn't point out, but certainly he and his wife could, you know. And it's beautiful out there. I mean, and a lot of people don't even know about that.
Absolutely. It's a gem that is here in Southern California. And I'm amazed. I've been there for more than 10 years. And people come in and they say, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize this was here. I just drive by.
Yeah.
But 400 out of the 400 species of birds that come in and out of Bolsa Chica, out of Orange County, more than 200 flock to Bolsa Chica. Wow. And right now it's the breeding season. So, and we're smack in the middle of the Pacific Flyway. So think about it as the 405 freeway. Hmm. We're going south to San Diego. It's a natural stopping point. So like humans, birds do the same thing. When they're taking their long flight from north to south for the warm weather, they take a stop. Sometimes it's a quick advertisement they refer to it as Marriott Marsh.
So they're stopping just like we stop for gas and food when we're on a road
trip.
Indeed
they do.
Wow. That's so you have kind of, from what I can understand in my limited research, a couple of different sort of prongs to your mission. You have the education piece, and you have wonderful programs for really people of all ages, mm-hmm. From little kids all the way up to college students and adults.
Huh?
So those programs are ongoing, and
those are offered year round. Mm-hmm. Our programs are offered also 7 days a week. We offer guided tours, hands-on laboratories, scientific exploration and research. We do bird surveys, as well as monitoring of endangered birds during the breeding season, which is right about now.
I noticed.
Oh, no, right about March. Yeah, sorry.
You also have a research arm, so you are doing those kinds of activities all the time as well?
Absolutely. And we engage youth to do that.
That's so cool.
We have a program called the Wetland Research Program, where high school students, mostly AP Environmental Science students that participate in very specific mm-hmm. research projects that are guided by a biologist, they create their own hypothesis. They look through their research methodology, collect the data, analyze them, and present them. So it's a sort of a mini laboratory, if you will. And there's a lot of students that want to pursue degrees in the scientific field come and gain some experience using some of the equipment that they would be using in college, and it's good for them to be able to talk about it in their college applications.
Mm-hmm. And have that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if I were, say, like a middle school or a high school teacher, can I call and say, I'd like to bring my classroom out here, we're studying biology or we're studying science, and I'd like them to have this experience? Is that a lot of
absolutely.
What you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I just talked to a fourth grade teacher last week. And the beauty of our programs is that they're not cookie cutter. They're customizable. So what we do is we complement what the teacher is doing in class. So if the teacher says, well, we're studying adaptations, we design a program that then complements what she's trying to teach or what she's already taught.
Mm-hmm. Or what's in her curriculum.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so we're not duplicating what they've already done in class. And our programs are very hands-on, so the kids get to, you know, touch, feel, smell, and really find ways to apply theories that they learn in the four walls of the classroom in an outdoor setting.
Nice. Do you have educators on staff or volunteer educators, or who works with them when they come in?
Well, I have two staff biologists, actually three now, and we have a cadre of dedicated volunteers who help us, who are trained to teach us all of these different scientific concepts. Mm-hmm. And actually, we go beyond just science. So we talk about, you know, we talk about history. It really, we touch on natural and human history as well.
Cool. That sounds like a great experience for those kids.
How big a classroom can you accommodate? Like, can you have hundreds of kids there at a time? Or
No.
30,
the
40?
The biggest probably we've had is about 120.
Oh, my goodness.
We do them in rotations. So if you can imagine, we cannot accommodate 120 in a 1,400 square foot facility.
Right.
But there is a 1,400 acre wetland habitat where we can take rotations.
Right. So part of you are going to go on a hike now, and then the
indeed.
Rest of you are going to work in the center. And then
indeed.
When you're back, then we'll just switch out.
Indeed.
You know, on that 1,400 acres, I remember one of the problems that because I grew up here, and I always knew that it was there. But I always kind of could never figure out where I access the wetlands. And is there a way to kind of describe for listeners how they can best access the wetlands if they just want to go and visit themselves?
Absolutely. There are two access points to Bolsa Chica. If you're driving north from Laguna, mm-hmm. there's an entrance right off of Pacific Coast Highway across the street from the Bolsa Chica State Beach. If you're map questing it, or Google mapping it, it's probably the address would be 18,000 Pacific Coast Highway. Mm-hmm. But just north, due north of that, about a mile, mile and a half, right on Warner Avenue is another entrance point, which we call the North Lot, and that's 3842 Warner Avenue, and that's where the Interpretive Center is.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And people can park for free?
They can park for free. It's open from sunup to sundown. The Interpretive Center is open from 9 to 4, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Great. And let's take a musical break and learn more about that after the break. This is KX93.5. We're talking with Grace Adams, Executive Director of the Bolsa Chica Conservancy, and this is The Friendship Show. Here's Joni Mitchell's Big Yellow Taxi.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
And we're here with Grace Adams, who is the executive director of the Bolsa Chica Conservancy.
Here was my question off air was, to me, Grace, a marshland is like cattails and ponds and lily pads and that sort of thing. And I really kind of have a hard time imagining how that exists on the West Coast, because to me, sort of like the makeup is like there's ocean and then there's a strip of sand and then there's the rest of the world. I really am sort of fascinated on how that comes together and just the geography of it.
And that, in fact, is, am I on? And that, in fact, is the intersection of wetlands, or the intersection between water and land, right? So we get tidal influence from the ocean. There's a connection to the ocean. And that actually occurred. There's two access points to the ocean for the Bolsa Chica wetlands. There's one to the north, and there's one to the south that just recently was completed. In 2006, a major restoration effort was completed by creating a new tidal inlet that directly feeds water into this marsh. And it flows in and out, and we get the high tide and high, high, and low, low tides. So it's this beautiful...
And that's more natural? That's the way it originally would have operated?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And to the north, it's connected through Huntington Harbor that connects to Anaheim Bay, mm-hmm. and then into Pacific Ocean as well.
Got it.
So with that, it brings a gazillion nutrients from the ocean, nutrient-rich planktons and phytoplanktons and zooplanktons come on with mm-hmm. it.
And is this protected land?
Yes, it is. It's a designated ecological reserve by the state of California.
And who does the land belong to then?
It's owned by the California State Lands Commission, but managed by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. We have a lease on part of the property to operate the Interpretive Center.
And is the land in any sort of danger? Are we ruining it in any way? Or
no,
are you
not
guys
anymore.
In good health?
In fact, we added to it. Originally, there was only about 300 acres. And now there's about 1,400 acres of a thriving ecological reserve. In 2006, we added about more than 500 acres of wetland habitat.
Wow. I was wondering this as I looked for the failed music CD that apparently doesn't work that I put together for today. And a lot of the music, the ecological music, was from the 70s and talked about us ruining the planet. And I had that question. Are we actually getting better at that? Have we learned anything over those 30, 40 years now since then? And are we doing better?
And, you know, I think there's quite an increase in awareness. Mm-hmm. And I'm just seeing that as an example with the number of volunteers mm-hmm. that come to the wetlands. I was just looking at our statistics last week. And last year, we hosted just a little, about 10,000, more than 10,000 hours of volunteer time was dedicated to our work.
Wow.
This was in 2012. In 2013, we organized about 14,000 hours of volunteer work.
Wow, that's a huge increase.
Huge increase. We have more and more companies bring their employees to work with us to do conservation work, which is fantastic.
So as a team building exercise?
Not just as a team building exercise, but as part of their corporate sustainability efforts as well.
And that just their commitment to being a good organization in the community and
indeed.
And taking care of the place where they live and work.
Absolutely.
I think that's awesome. Do you keep track of guests?
Yes, we do.
How many guests do you have in a year?
Thank you for asking that question. I was so thrilled because last in 2012, we hosted about 29,000 students and visitors.
Wow.
No, last year we did 34,000.
Wow.
I am so thrilled about that.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
We only count those that come through the center, participate in our education programs, volunteer, people who volunteer their time for programs. That doesn't include folks that also visit the wetlands on their own.
They just sort of wander through.
Absolutely.
So when Scott shows up with his binoculars to do some bird watching, he's not even in that total.
We may not be counting him.
Dang.
You got to come to the center.
Okay, next time I'll do that for sure.
You have some big plans for the center. You want to talk about that?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, we've been living in this 1,400 square foot temporary facility at the north end of the wetlands. But as you can imagine, with growing demand for our services and a really aged structure, when we got the facility, they were used. So really they have a combined age of about 60 years old.
Wow.
So we're hoping to raise money to build a new facility on the Harriet Weider Regional Park, which is just south of our current location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's your dream for that facility? What would that be like?
My dream for that facility is for it to be an engaging, interactive facility so that your experience begins when you step on it. That people are able to roll up their sleeves. You know, when you go to a nature center or a museum, you go in, you park, you look at the exhibits, and then you're done. My dream is for people to come into this facility and own it and participate and feel the earth and smell it and really be engaged in the work that we do. Mm-hmm. And make it their own.
Let me ask you, you said Harriet Weider. I mean my recollection tells me she's a former board of supervisor.
Yes.
And why Harriet Weider? What was her association with the wetlands?
Harriet was actually one of the founding members of the Wolf Chica Conservancy.
I see.
And just south of the wetlands is a linear park that's owned by the County of Orange that they dedicated as the Harriet Weider Regional Park.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
Now, Dawn and I, of course, work for a nonprofit as well. And so I love it when you talk about this vision and this future. Dawn and I both know that takes resources. Where are these resources going to come from? Because that sounds like a very elaborate project that you're talking about.
Indeed it is. So we're hoping to get a lot of community support. We're very fortunate that we have a great base of support from our members as well as our volunteers, the corporate community as well as the foundation community, but we want to expand that. And, you know, even though the Bolsa Chica wetlands are located in Huntington Beach. The wetlands itself really represents connectivity to not just to the animals that live there, but to humans as well. Just think about it. The wetlands is a very nutrient-rich area. It basically is a nursery for marine animals. And do you guys like fish?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, the EPA actually estimates that more than 75% of commercially marketed fish are wetland dependent. So think about the halibut. We have halibuts at Bolsa Chica, sea bass. Think about those kinds of fish that you buy from the market, they can be traced back to the wetlands. Not just Bolsa Chica, of course, but they're wetland dependent.
That's an amazing statistic. It really is.
What does that mean?
It would never have occurred to anybody that that would have been accurate. Yeah.
Does that mean that they have to like go into the wetlands to like lay eggs or grow or?
Indeed. Think about it as a mother's womb. It's safer. It's smaller. It's warmer. It has a lot of nutrition, and they get food. They are able to basically, like you said, lay eggs and give birth there and then go out into the open ocean.
Wow, that is an amazing statistic.
Yeah. Well, we wish you very good luck with your work toward getting the interpretive center into everything that you want it to be. And in the meantime, if people want to visit the Bolsa Chica Conservancy, they can go to your website, which is
www.bolsachica.org, or call our number, which is 714-846-1114.
Thanks so much. Grace Adams is the executive director of the Bolsa Chica Conservancy. This is KX93.5.
You've been listening to The Friendship Show on KX93.5 FM. Join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for great conversation, great music, and the chance to make great new friends. The Friendship Show on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM.